This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The secret weapon in Jammin' Davis turning it on at Kentucky. Greg Minuski.
What do you mean, Grant?
Greg Minuski, who was basically like the quality control coach.
No. That's usually like a 23-year-old recent graduate.
Can you imagine? Poor guy. Shouldn't even Joan. Greg Minuski, the defensive coordinator, Washington football team, up until last season, went and got a job at Kentucky to be a defensive assistant.
Man.
Not a coordinator.
That's an unforgiving game right there.
Do you think, though, like it's definitely a situation where he just, I'm looking right in front of me. It says Greg Minuski.
Super nice guy to us.
Quality control.
Yeah, that's I'm telling you, that's unforgiving. What usually happens is if you were a DC and you had your shot, it didn't go that well, you get bounced back down to position coach, right? Look at Joe Barry, who, you know, was not a qualified defensive coordinator, was not very good. He got kicked down to, like, linebackers.
He got a job
like,
again, but, finally.
Yeah, dude,
he's a DC again.
He worked his way back up. That's what happens. That usually doesn't happen. You get knocked down to the eighth-place team in the SEC East. That's a quality control guy.
I'm
making
Kentucky's
sure the videotapes
website
are labeled.
Greg Minuski enters his first season as Kentucky with the program in 2020, quality control assistant for the defense. Brings 30 combined seasons of NFL experience to the Bluegrass, including 18 as a coach and 12 as a player. You don't often get a defensive coordinator from the league to come be your tape labeler for the defense.
That's my point. Is that DVD labeled, Skip? It is.
Poor guy. But anyway, maybe he was the whisperer. Maybe he got on the horn with Ron and the Martys, all six Martys in the draft room. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. On the fan, we welcome in our Richmond audience now, AM 910, FM 105.1, and you guys all over 106.7 in D.C. area. Let's get to the phones, 800-636-1067, the Gambit D.C. listener lines. Bet, play, win with Gambit D.C. We'll give you some thoughts on the rest of the first round, but some people want to hop in on what Washington did. Kevin's in Arlington. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, fellas. Happy Friday.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah. First of all, Jammin' Davis is a baller. Very excited about that pick. I thought our number one hole on the team was a linebacker who could go get whoever's running the football and chase him down. I mean, if you looked at our issues last year where we had trouble, where we lost games defensively, it was when teams could pound the rock on us, like Tampa did in the playoff game. And I think it was mostly because of our deficiency at the second level with the linebacker core. So I think joining him to Holcomb, I'm excited about Davis. Now, having said that, unlike Danny, we're rearranging the chairs on the deck of the Titanic at quarterback. We aren't doing anything meaningful at quarterback. It's been since Joe Theismann 37 years ago that we had a half dozen years of credible starting quarterback play. And if Davis Mills is picked and he turns out, I'll shut my mouth. Same with Kellen Mond. Mm. But I see us going into year three without a quarterback. And they're building the team like they're the 85 Bears, and that's great if you're trying to win in the 80s and 90s. But today, You need passing. You need tremendous play at quarterback. I just don't know where they think they're going to get it. I'm just, you know, Mac Jones, to me, is Phillip Rivers. Would you like to go get Phillip Rivers? I would. I don't know. I'm so torn.
So appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, Kevin.
A few things there. All right, number one, I'm not disagreeing with the notion that they don't have their quarterback of the future, and it is frustrating that they don't seem to care about that.
Right.
I've just understood since the moment they signed Ryan Fitzpatrick, they're not addressing that right now. So I'm not going to continually at every angle throw my hands up and say, I'm fat, when I've known for a while that I'm fat. I came to that realization a long time ago.
Right.
So like today, you guys are going, they didn't trade up. I haven't thought for 1 second they were going to trade up. I don't think they wanted to trade up. They don't want to fix the quarterback situation right now. They use duct tape. It's called Ryan Fitzpatrick for this season, and they are going to worry about this issue on the car that doesn't work next year. And in the meantime, they've got this duct tape that they're using. Now, in terms of quarterback play, I think they think they'll get good quarterback play, quality, above-average quarterback play this season from Fitzpatrick, who in his last 16 games has 27 touchdowns and 13 picks and over 4,000 yards. Would they like to layer? Yeah. I mean, if you listen to Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network, he thinks they're going to take Davis Mills today in the second round. He's had them all over Davis Mills for a while. He thinks he's going to be the pick, and they're going to groom him this year, and that he's their, you know, prospect of the future, so to speak. I wouldn't do that. I'm not going to be upset if they do. I'm never going to be angry if you're trying to solve quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And if Davis Mills is of interest to you and you see Cousins or something in him, okay, fine. Then let's see what happens. But since the second that they acquired Fitzpatrick, and we talked about it on the show the next couple of days, everyone's doing shtick and printing off Fitzmagic t-shirts and double gun pointing because he's got a beard. I was the guy saying they're not solving quarterback this offseason. So if people are now coming to the realization because it's the draft that they're not solving quarterback this offseason, I don't know what to tell you. But you're right. This is a one-year thing. Just like Brandon Scherff at guard is a one-year thing. They got a little taste of a meal last year that they don't want to stop eating. They made the playoffs accidentally at 7-9. If you're Ron Rivera, do you want to go 6-10 or whatever the hell, the 6-11 and 5-12 with 17 games now? Or do you want to try to get back to the playoffs? So they're going to try to basically nail in some nails and reinforce and hold the fort down.
So philosophically, I agree with every word you just said. But I still have the emergency alert button going. Because everyone acts, when I hear the phrase, they're building the team. That's wonderful if you have unlimited amounts of time. If you have this indefinite future where you get to keep everybody and everyone's happy and you don't have to give anybody a pay raise and there's no salary cap like there wasn't really in the 80s, by all means, build your team. But as you already mentioned, Scherff pretty much on a one-year deal. Allen's about to get a massive pay raise. Then you wait a year and it's Payne's turn. Then it's Sweat's turn. Then you start adding up all these different guys that are the quote-unquote core of this team. Some are going to be gone. So all this layering and adding talent is awesome if you already have the quarterback. They don't. It's to me, the very definition of cart before the horse. Not only have the cart, but now the cart's got rocket skates and it's got cool accoutrements and some bumper stickers and like a really neat thing. They have no horse. They have no horse. They're going to get by this year to not stink with Ryan Fitzpatrick and be in the exact same boat.
Agreed.
This next season. But your point is 100% right, Grant. They weren't doing it, and I'm frustrated that they didn't show any interest in doing it. I get not going
to
four.
All my frustration's gone.
I can't get rid of it, is my point.
I'm going to keep screaming. Like, I woke up today, and I'm still fat. I'm supposed to be angry again today. Right. I knew when I went to bed I was fat. Why is today another day for me to be angry?
To me, it's if everything had gone where those guys had been drafted in the top seven, for the sake of argument, all the quarterbacks are going to the top seven, and you go, yeah, I couldn't have done it today. But today, your running shoes were laid out for you. Everyone got you a nice pair of socks. There's a good, healthy meal there. You got a pot of coffee on. You're hydrated. You could have gone for a walk. And they were like, we just can't. We can't go for a walk today. That's what's frustrating, I think, to a lot of fans, is that a quarterback that could probably have helped you wasn't that expensive today. If it was three first-round picks, a second, and Montez Sweat to move up to four, okay, I get that's
well,
too much
I
for some
people. Well, I was sitting there watching last night, I thought, I could look dumb here. Because I've to anyone who wants to listen, I've been saying, they're not trading up.
Right.
Stop this foolishness. Mm-hmm. They have no interest in this. Is it a guard that they can get it for? Then maybe they trade up.
I got the steamies.
Can you trade up for the best guard who's ever lived? Is Robert Gallery's son available? Maybe they'll trade up.
That's a good bit.
But if you want them to trade up for a quarterback, please stop doing this.
Mm-hmm.
They have Kyle Allen. They have Taylor Heinicke. They have Ryan Fitzpatrick. And they're ready to go 9-8. this is what they're doing this year. They're going to go into year three of Ron Rivera,
yeah,
hopefully with their quarterback. But I also believe whenever they solve this, if they solve this, it's going to be with a veteran. I would have traded a bunch of stuff this offseason to try to go into the top five and gotten a quarterback. Mm-hmm. You didn't want to do that. Fine. I would do that next year, too,
yeah,
for whoever that quarterback is. Now, I'm not going to get the third or fourth best quarterback in the class. I'm going up wherever I got to go, maybe two overall or whatever, to take the Zach Wilson of next year.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing you can do, and you could try to do, they tried with Matt Stafford. They were arguably the best bidder before the Rams swooped in,
right,
with a deal they couldn't beat. They tried on Deshaun Watson. I think that's what their plan is, honestly. Whether that's vocalized between the Martys and Ron, however they're going to do it, I don't know. But I believe that their priority is that when the opportunity presents itself, they want to be in position to trade for next offseason's Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
For, you know, whatever veteran,
whatever disgruntled veteran,
exactly,
shakes loose,
comes, yeah, available. I think that's what they're going to try to do. Jay's in D.C. on G&D. What's up, Jay?
What's up, Jay?
What's up, you guys? Yeah, I called you guys like a couple months ago. Like, my favorite player in this whole thing, in this draft, that we could have gotten was Zaven Collins. I just thought he could do everything that a Owusu Koumou could do, but he was just way bigger. I don't really like Owusu Koumou in the first round. I just feel like he was too small. So I was hoping when he got taken, I was hoping we would move back, get a couple picks, and get Trayvon Moore, since you guys have been saying, like, they might want picks next year. But when Justin Fields started to slide, I was just hoping, like, maybe we could train up there. But he was in that, like, Dallas, Eagles, New York Giants thing. I didn't know if we could actually trade with those guys, so I was hoping he would get past them. So I was a little upset that he didn't go past them and we could get them. But Chicago jumped up before we could get them. I'm just hoping we can get Trayvon Moore, like, later in the draft, and that we don't pick up, like, Davis Mills or Kyle Trask. They haven't played enough ball, and I just don't feel like...
See, that's where I'm at,
they really
Jay.
Have a great future.
I don't love, like, second and third and fourth round. Like, draft a quarterback every year in the mid-rounds. And
just see if you catch lightning? Yeah.
I don't do that.
Right.
I draft football players who
football,
can help me. I want a football player who's going to be on the field playing football. That's mm-hmm. what I want in the second round. I want to take the best tackle... safety.
They've been awful in the second round for a while, but that's your starter. That's a guy that probably could have been a first rounder a different year.
Absolutely.
Or something. That is the bread and butter of organizations, is getting rounds two and three right.
And the third rounder here has been Antonio Gibson, has been Terry McLaurin,
yeah.
Fourth rounder, Jamison Crowder. Like, there are players available there that can not only make your team, they'll all make your team, but they can make your team better immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, should be the priority tonight. Now, if they take Davis Mills, I will be intrigued. I will. I've heard some good things. There's some couple things about watching him that I like. If they take Kellen Mond, I will be enamored. I will be curious. Do I think he's going to be a great NFL player? No. Is it worth giving it a shot when you don't have a quarterback? Yeah. I would do something else. Like, my interest in Kellen Mond or Davis Mills, 1 out of a 10, is a 5. I'm not going to be upset. I'd rather draft a starting safety. I'd rather draft a tight end opposite Logan Thomas, who's a weapon. Give me a tackle who plays every snap next year on the left side and makes Cornelius Lucas what he should be, which is a swing tackle. That's kind of my plan this
yeah.
evening. We can get deeper into that as we go, but I don't see them going quarterback because, again, they just haven't shown that much interest in it. They keep saying they didn't want to mortgage the future. Nobody seemed to want to listen to that. That, to them, meant trading up.
Yeah.
By the way, mortgaging a future, a 1-4 and a 6 or a 1-4 and 5.
That's not mortgaging the future.
It's not mortgaging the future.
Right.
That's just giving up almost nothing to get Justin Fields.
That's a small investment that you have to pay as a tax for winning one extra game this year, basically.
They did not want Justin Fields. Like, they can
that
say whatever
clear,
they
yes.
want. Justin Fields was there for not a whole lot. They didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They did get Jamin Davis, and their defense will be better. Logan Paulson just comped him to Levante David, which is exciting. We'll talk to Jamin Davis of the Washington football team next, right here on Grant and Danny.
With the 19th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Washington football team selects Jamin Davis, linebacker, Kentucky.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan, and right now on the BetQL guest hotline, Jamin Davis, the newest member of the Washington football team, the 19th overall pick in last night's first round, made 102 tackles, four TFLs, had a sack and a half in his 10 games at Kentucky this past year. Jamin, congratulations on being picked. Welcome to D.C. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing very well, my friend. I echo what Grant said. Congratulations. It's got to be awesome. I've seen the video of the phone call from Coach Rivera. Take us through what led up to that moment, and then just what were you feeling at that time?
Definitely. Leading up to it, I honestly didn't see it happening right away. So I was just sitting there just soaking everything all in on my family, just feeling a little anxious or whatever. And then when my phone actually speak with Coach Rivera for a sec, I just cut back to tears.
When you get that phone call and those tears come that you're talking about, the wait is over. But what was your level of nerves that it could be a long night? Like, did you know Washington was kind of the net that you were going to be caught in, that you couldn't get past that? What did you know going into round one? What was your expectation?
Going into round one, I had no clue about anything.
I'm going to throw Jamin on hold because we got to fix his phone, because we got to get we got to be able to hear what he's saying. So let's get his cell phone squared away. Want to make sure people are excited to hear from the new rookie that we can do that.
I love – I mean, again, just the team put out that video. It's awesome. You'll get me every time with that kind of content. Just these kids have worked beyond hard and have gone through so much already, been poked and prodded and dissected, and here's what's wrong with this guy, here's what's wrong with that guy. Everyone's looking for a reason to write you off, right? To navigate all of that stuff, plus in a year with COVID and everything else that they've dealt with, to have their dreams come true and have, you know, Ron Rivera on the other end of the line, a legend that everybody knows, and you're going to play for Washington. And he's sitting there going, oh, my God, like, it's so great. And the family's like, is it good? Is it good? Is it good? Right. It's just perfect,
well,
dude.
I love that they're all sitting around waiting because they don't know who's on the phone.
Right.
They just
who
know
is
he's
it?
Getting drafted. And he gets off the phone and says, we're going to Washington. We're joined by Jamin Davis, the new linebacker with the football team. So go back. Your experience pre-draft with Washington, did you know that they loved you? And what was your thought going into last night?
Yeah, I had a feeling that Washington definitely had interest, but I didn't think it would actually end up happening. I do recall, like, sitting having Zoom calls with the coaches and then finally getting the chance to speak with Coach Rivera leading up to it. And once I got a chance to get the call, like I said, it was just a dream come true.
Strong side, middle, weak side, something we haven't even heard of yet. Where are you going to be, man?
Honestly, that's not in my control. Wherever I come out and just make plays, that's where I'll just go in and step and just show them the best version of Jamin Davis that I can.
People are saying you have a six-pack, but I've seen pictures where you have an eight-pack.
There's more than six. I don't know where they. I don't know how you get them.
Are you okay with people saying it's a six-pack, or would you think it's more of an eight?
Hey, I'll leave that up to everybody else. I don't really pay attention to that. I just work out. And
you do work out. That's
you do.
True.
I can confirm that.
We can tell
that,
about
yeah.
that. Do you? How often do you wear a shirt? Like, and is your preference to wear a shirt? Or
I wouldn't own any if I'm you. They
yeah,
just fall off.
Why do you wear shirts if you do?
Man, I can't walk around shirtless or my mom would smack me. So I definitely got to walk around with some clothes on sometimes.
At this point, give me a scouting report. What do you do well? What do you want to work on? What are your strengths, weaknesses? Go into it.
I feel like just using my athletic ability to be all over the field and just make plays, whether that's in the run game or in coverage or even in special teams if I was needed to, and just being around the ball at all times. And personally, I feel like something I could work on is just being physical when it comes to striking blocks and stuff like that.
Coach Ron Rivera played linebacker. Your defensive coordinator, Jack Del Rio, played linebacker. And you are playing now behind arguably the most talented stacked defensive line in football. This feels like the perfect fit. In the pre-draft process, did you consider any of those things? And now that you've landed here, is that something you've thought much about?
In the pre-draft process, it wasn't something I considered at all. I knew I just was going to end up wherever I ended up going and get an opportunity to play. I just knew I was going to try to step in and make an immediate impact and just try to make plays all over the field. And now that I get opportunity to be behind such a talented group, I'll definitely try to pull my own weight and make sure that I'm just pitching in as much as I can as well.
So from the outside looking in, I'm just a pudgy idiot that reads, you know, the mock drafts and evaluations like everybody else. I wonder what it's like on your side. Like, your agent's telling you, okay, it looks like it may be, you know, at the beginning of day two, and all of a sudden you're skyrocketing up boards, it seems like, to now all of a sudden you're here in the teens at the 19th overall pick. Was that your experience as well, kind of the updates you were getting from your agent and folks that were in the know?
To be honest, not really. I was always somebody that never really paid attention to any of that, and he kind of just gave me a feeling of where it might go. It could be late day one, early day two, around that range or something like that. But as far as like the whole skyrocketing up the boards and all that, I never paid attention to that because my main focus was trying to get here anyway. So it was just more so training and everything and just letting the day happen for itself.
Washington football team linebacker Jamin Davis on Grant and Danny. They took him last night with the 19th pick in the draft. What was the menu last night at your draft watch with your family? What'd you guys eat?
Some stuffed crust pizza that got sent to our house.
Ooh, that's a, you know what?
Delicious.
Pretty good, actually.
Yes, sir,
crust pizza's not bad. Is that your cheat meal? Is that
cheese
like
right
go-to?
In the crust there, yeah.
What's your favorite cheat meal?
I mean, I don't really have too many cheat meals, I guess you could say.
Shocking but, development, by the way.
Yeah, of course not.
The guy, I realized when I asked him, I'm like, you just saw the picture of this guy's abs.
Yeah, it's like a slightly tastier version of the lettuce.
Have you ever eaten a French fry?
Yeah, I just ate one not too long ago. But
you did?
Not too long ago, I did.
Was it terrible? You hated it.
You didn't like it.
Yeah, I almost threw up.
Yeah, I understand. I do the same thing. It's just that I eat so many of them
right. That
my stomach starts to hurt, and then I have the exact same reaction as you. What linebackers in the league do you think similarly resemble maybe either your size and speed or your skills?
Off top, maybe guys like Darius Leonard and Devin White. Just similar playing styles and just trying to be similar to the way they came in and produce as well.
This past year plus really, has just been so different for everybody in the whole world, but let alone you guys trying to get, you know, follow your dreams and get to the NFL and playing sports and keeping up with all the different challenges and things like that. Just reflect on this last year, man. Just, you know, everything from COVID protocol to, you know, eligibility and otherwise. How difficult was it and how rewarding is this?
I mean, it was tough when it all first started as far as COVID, being that we couldn't really be around our facility and stuff like that as much as we used to. But going into the season, I had a pretty clear mind. I knew I was going to try to step on the scene and show everybody who Jamin Davis is, and just made sure I keep my feet grounded and just take it one step at a time. And I guess that got me here.
Jamin, I got into NASCAR really big about a year ago. Mm. And Danny's already frowning that I'm asking you about
this.
I'm
looking at my computer.
No, you're frowning. I saw that you're a huge NASCAR fan. Are you
still
a big mark? Do you watch racing every weekend?
Not as much as I used to when Jimmy Johnson was actually racing, because he was the one that got me into it. So now I'm forced to support the Georgia boy, Chase Elliott. But I definitely haven't been watching as much as I used to. I did get a chance to see Alex Bowman get a win pretty recently. But
he knows what he's talking about. Did you watch Dega?
Say again.
Did you watch Talladega?
Yes, I did.
That's my favorite track. I love those super speedways.
Yeah, that's my favorite track as well.
Danny, you got any NASCAR questions?
How come you like it?
He hates NASCAR, dude. He does not get it.
growing up, it was just one of my things where I was just in the cars, in the racing, Formula One, MotoGP and whatnot. And I don't know, I just ended up watching it with my brother and sister. And I don't know. It was just something about it that just got me hooked, and I just always kept up with it since then.
The Formula One thing, that piqued my interest. I don't really watch them, but there's the best show on Netflix is the F1 Drive to Survive series. Do you watch
that
one?
I knew as soon as he said Formula One, Danny was about.
Well, now I'm interested.
All he does all day, Jamin.
I beg people
to
watch it.
Wait for someone to say Formula One, and then he comes running around the corner to scream about it.
I just beg people to watch it. It's incredible. Dude caught on fire, man. That's all I want to talk about.
Yeah, I definitely got a chance to get into it a little bit recently.
So good.
All right, last thing, and this is going to be the most awkward ending of an interview and the worst question ever if you don't know what I'm talking about. So I hope you do. I saw a quote floating around the internet, something about like work ethic, and I don't even know if you know what it would be, but do you have some kind of quote about work ethic?
I sure do.
Okay, I want to hear this.
You can't have a $1 million dream with a minimum wage work ethic, and that's something that I live by my entire life. I was told it when I was younger playing rec ball, and it just always helped me keep a chip on my shoulder with everything I did, even if I was the underrated kid who nobody knew about, and it got me to this point, so I'm just going to always live by that.
I love that.
That's awesome.
Was that your senior quote? Be honest.
Yes, sir, it was.
Yes! Let's go! In the yearbook! Jamin Davis. I love it. I feel like we just became best friends. Well, all right, man. Well, we're happy that you're here. Go make a bunch of tackles and help us shut down running games.
Yes, sir. I got you.
All right.
Thank you, buddy. Congrats, man.
Washington football team.
Thank you.
All right. Be well, man. You got it. On Grant and Danny here on The Fan. That was a great interview because I got to ask him about NASCAR, but more importantly,
French
Danny
fries.
Got to tell him about Formula One.
So now I'm in. Thank goodness. I was sitting there in the NASCAR portion, just waiting. Okay, I don't really know what to ask. I have no interest.
The NASCAR portion, like it was 10 minutes.
No, it was like 6 minutes out of the nine. It was like NASCAR.
I'm quite sure.
Because you were sitting there working up to the NASCAR. You were itching about NASCAR. You're like, that Jones boy, that thing that you overdo.
I never said that Jones boy once.
But you tried to.
I wanted to talk to him about Eric Jones. And then I realized no one would know who that is, and it would be bad. But I got so excited last night when I saw he is a huge racing mark. I just envisioned, and this would never happen, but like me and him sitting on a couch talking about racing. Like, why would I ever be on a couch with him? Why would I ever be near him?
Why are we there?
Eating stuffed crust pizza.
Yeah, I was going to say eating stuffed crust with fries.
So that's the other thing that we need to get into. Have you seen pictures of him shirtless?
I know there are six apps that everyone else can have.
There's other ones. Are there actually only six abs?
I think so.
Why do some people have eight packs?
That's what I don't get.
He actually does. If you count, I thought they were abs. If you're telling me there's only six abs.
I think.
I've never seen an ab. I don't know what one looks like in real life, so I can't help you there. But if you look at the lines.
Yeah, I'm looking at them.
He's got eight of them.
So there's your standard issue six, and then the top one is almost like pectoral adjacent, right? So where for me, it's like it's gross and soft and a rib cage. Like feel you know where your bosom is, right? In this area.
You want me to feel yours?
No, I'm saying feel yours. Okay. Just below that rib is like you could feel like some rib cage and like it protects your lungs and stuff.
I don't feel any ribs.
Oh, just know that it's there though.
Okay.
But you've got nice.
I feel kind of skin.
Yeah, you got like, protective tissue because you're supposed to protect your ribs.
Feels like a bag of sand.
Yeah. Well, where his that somehow looks like abs too.
It's crazy.
Over top of like
I'm gonna
the
tweet
rib
out
bones.
A picture right now at Grant H. Paulson.
I don't get what they are
of him shirtless. It's insane. But so two things on this. Number one, he weighs 237 pounds and looks like that. Like when I see a UFC fighter or something who's got an eight pack like that, and you say that, like, wow, that guy's yoked out of his mind, and they're like the 123 pound weight class or whatever, I kind of understand it. It's not to say that he didn't get out of bed looking like that, but he got out of bed, went for one run, and looked like that. Like it's super easy to look like that when you're 123 pounds. Everyone pretty much looks like that when they're 123
pounds. Yeah, because you're only 123 pounds.
Right. This guy weighs 237
Twice
pounds.
Twice that.
And he looks like that. So then my other thing I was going to say was that when he initially said, when I asked him, like, have you ever eaten a fry? And he was like, ugh, that's so gross.
He's like, yuck.
Why would I? My first thought was, I don't know how much I can dig this guy if he doesn't eat French fries. But I've come around on it because of this. I'd rather him be honest with us and say, all I eat is chicken broth and kale. That's how I look like me. Then being like the, you know how so many people try to be relatable?
Yeah.
Girls will do this on dates.
I love eating. I eat so much.
Petite little girls would be like, I can't wait to eat a burger with you. Like we go out and it's like, this time I'm eating a salad. Like you ate a salad last time, but this time I'm eating a salad, but next time a burger. You know that thing?
Yeah.
And then Jamin Davis or players, you know, they might like Logan Paulson. Logan Paulson just admits, I only eat chicken broth.
Yeah, I eat chicken broth and air.
That's
his diet.
So, I'd rather him do that than be like, yeah, I eat burgers and fries all the time.
But he had stuffed crust last night.
Did he? He didn't say he ate it.
Oh,
he also
you're
said
right.
He didn't name the place, which meant he like wasn't all in. And he said that got sent to the house. Essentially, it sounded to me like someone struck a deal with a local pizza place.
Interesting.
They sent pizza over.
Look at Detective Paulson on that one.
That was my radar going up when he was like, someone sent stuffed crust to the house.
In other words, you didn't take that as it was ordered by someone in my family or something like that. You're saying someone just sent them a gift of stuffed crust.
I would bet you a copious amount of money, of which I don't have a lot of,
right,
that no one in his family picked up the phone and called for pizza last night. A local place, probably arranged by his agent, sent pizza probably
right?
for the party. And I guarantee you that pizza was there and he didn't eat a whole lot of it. That's my guess.
I want to say that because Pizza Hut is the pizza sponsor of the NFL, that NFL sent Pizza Hut to a lot of these draftees' houses. Because there are other draftees, you know, where they do the in-house shot, where they had Pizza Hut on the table. So I want to say that's
true.
What it is.
Daris.
Yeah.
You know what? Detective Daris, you can be part of my detective team. I think he's right about
that. I think he's right about that, too.
So maybe Pizza Hut sent everyone food. And I wonder if he... Now I'm really thinking about this. Because we love Pizza Hut, you and I. I love Pizza Hut.
Stuffed crust is incredible.
So good.
They put the cheese right in the crust. I'll keep saying that. I'm sure it's not a miracle,
but
by the way.
But I wonder if it was one of those things where he also, when someone asked, like, what's up? Like, when some Tom, Dick, or Harry radio guy says, what were you guys eating at the draft party? I wonder if he has to say, Pizza Hut. Thanks to our good friends at Pizza Hut, brought to you by Pizza Hut, mm-hmm. or whatever it is.
Sure.
So really, they could have had something, some kind of crazy spread that he didn't even tell us about, that like they made on their own, like deviled eggs and shrimp. And
for him, it's but different kinds of salad. There's like a chef salad and a regular garden salad.
He's a yes sir, no sir guy. He's a military guy, mm-hmm. born in Hawaii. I love everything about what I've heard about this guy since he was drafted. One thing I'll say, and this is not a slight, this is just an observation.
Okay.
Washington said he was the number one defensive player on their board after they drafted him. That's an easy thing to do. A lot of teams do that, I think. After you've drafted someone, when you're talking about a player,
that's exactly who he wanted.
You then say, he was the number one player on our board, and that is fan porn, by the way. Fans, like, immediately, you want to be a beat reporter and get some retweets? You tweet out, he was the number one player on their board, and just sit back and watch your account get some retweets. Fans love that.
You're 100% right about that. People get like horned frogged.
They're like, Washington got their player. Like
the board,
they got their guy.
You mean the inaccurate thing that's never right for any team ever? You mean the 50% coin toss dart throw every year?
But not only that,
they're bored.
So he was higher than Micah Parsons, which stands to reason, maybe a character thing, whatever.
Sure, entirely possible.
Higher than Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, clearly. Okay. They took him over him. All right. Higher than Sertan, you know, go through the whole list. But
Horn and
it's very possible
Rousseau,
that's true. I'm not saying it wasn't true. You got a head coach, linebacker. Defensive coordinator, linebacker. I get it. It's just one of those things where when you find it out after, like that's going to happen in 32 draft rooms and 32 press conferences.
It's how we had it on our board.
That's the guy we wanted. Because I've never heard anyone say, yeah, he was a fourth linebacker on our board. We panicked and we took him.
So we had Vera Tucker actually as number one. And you know what I mean? Like, come on. Right. No one's ever. It's like we were talking about this with the press conference, the defensive coordinator being like, we're going to be more passive. We're going to back off a little bit more, and we're going to let the offense dictate
to us.
Aggressive,
right.
Yeah.
We're going to be the most aggressive defense.
Nobody's ever said that.
Let's go to Chin and Potomac on G&D. What's up, Chin? How are you?
Hey, dude.
Hey, thanks, guys. By the way, I love your show, and I can't thank you guys enough, especially Danny, for turning me on to Drive to Survive. I've turned on like five friends to that. Everybody loves that show.
I hope he's doing a bit.
It's just tremendous.
Is that real, or are you doing a bit?
No, it's absolutely true.
Oh, wow, okay. No, that's great, too. Yeah, that's also really good.
It's a phenomenal show. I just beg people that like sports and are interested in documentaries to watch it. It's an uphill battle over here, Chin.
You've seen that
one? Yeah, I can't imagine any sports fan who watches that who wouldn't like it.
It's so great.
Yeah. But that all being said, and as much as I like you guys, I have to tell you, I think you've wasted so much time talking about quarterback because I really do believe Taylor Heinicke is the best option that we have.
Yes!
And here's the other thing, too. I love how every year everyone sees all these like quarterbacks in the top 25 in the mock draft and think they're the answer. But if you look at every draft, there's at most one or two quarterbacks taken in the first two rounds that are any good.
Yep.
I mean, if you look at the top 10 quarterbacks or 15 quarterbacks in the league right now, four of them were third round or later, including Tom Brady, sixth round. So that means
there's
only
about... contrarily, to your point, Chin, the guys that are taking college classes and don't have jobs are often the guys that end up being the great quarterbacks.
That's right. And look, the main reason a lot of quarterbacks fail when they come into the league is because they say the game is too fast or the lights are too bright. Did the game ever look too fast for Taylor Heinicke? The guy has not had one bad series for the Redskins. I'm just hoping he gets a real chance to compete because I really do believe that the guy is sitting on their noses right now. And I'm just, if I was Ron Rivera, I would say no matter what, even if he goes 1-for-21 and passes in the preseason, he's our starting quarterback until he shows us otherwise. I mean, watch that Tampa Bay game, watch the previous game, watch what he did in the preseason with Carolina. There's a video on YouTube that says Taylor Heinicke gets cut because he was the best player, best quarterback in preseason. The guy's never really had a chance, and when he had a chance, he was unbelievable. I mean, he moved that. Everyone thinks that our offense is tailored to, like, short, dinky passes. Well, that's because we have crappy quarterbacks who can't really make a decision. Taylor Heinicke slings the ball over.
Until they get the Taylor Heinicke experience. Thank you, Chin.
Thanks, buddy.
My favorite part was, very, very good call, sitting on their noses. I love that. I'm just picturing Ron Rivera in, like, a draft chair.
Like, this is so uncomfortable.
And Taylor Heinicke literally sitting on his nose. A really small version of Taylor Heinicke sitting right on his nose.
But there's a line that he had early on. It says half the guys, you know, it's only a couple per round for one or two guys that ends up being good. Well, that's better than zero, than not taking one. And that's kind of the point I'm making.
Yeah.
You have to try. You have to try. Sometimes they fail. You have to try.
I did tell you we would get a call today from someone
saying,
we're
going to get plenty of those.
Why on earth would they take a quarterback? They've got Taylor Heinicke. Let's try to win off the field next. And don't do it for me and don't do it for Danny. Do it for the guy that once ran the draft room, Bruce Allen. How are you in the win column? We're looking for little teeny tiny mini moral victories. Things that have gone right in your day that no one else would care about. We do it every Friday on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. You're winning off the field. You know how the game is played. It's Friday. We want to know what little thing has gone right in your day. Something that made you happy, even if it was just for a moment. No one else would have cared about. Grant Paulson, Danny Ruye. We're on Twitter at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny DR. Show them how we play.
It's got to be small, Grant. It can't be something significant. That's not for this. That's for somebody else's segment where you win on the field. No. It's got to be a small thing. I'll give you an example. Had the kids, both boys, had their doctor's checkups today. So, clean bill of health, everything's good in that regard. They both got stickers, and they initially argued over who wanted which kind of a sticker. There was a superhero sticker and a minion sticker, and they ultimately settled it without embarrassing us in public at the doctor's office.
Wow.
Because we weren't embarrassed, we were.
Winning off the field?
That's how you do it.
Believe it or not, I have two.
You're allowed. You can do that.
I have two today.
It's
show. Been that great of a day for me.
Hey.
Number one, I have not had to clean my glasses today, and there are no smudges. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Number two, and this one's more important as far as I can tell, I bit the fingernail on my middle finger. This one here.
Yep, which you just showed me.
I did, yeah. Well, I didn't mean to show it to you like
you
that.
You instinctively showed me your middle finger. I'm like, I'm just winning off the field with you, buddy.
Sorry about that.
That's okay, man.
So I bit the fingernail. I got a clean line without any jagged fingernail. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Just a clean break all the way across. Didn't, like, indent. Didn't have to pull.
Let me get a closer look at it. Flip me off again. Let me see.
Right there.
That's a clean line. I didn't really know what I was looking at.
So... good luck doing that next time you bite your nail. Therefore, I was.
Winning off the field.
Let's go to Rich and only. The bat signal went
Richard.
Up. This many months later, Rich still sees that bat signal. What's up? How are you, buddy?
Doing good, man. Hey, I know my role. Just playing my position on the field.
Just out here trying to make the big rocks into little rocks, my guy.
Exactly. My wife hit me up earlier on today, said she's going to be out all day Sunday with her friends. That means I will have no chores to do on Sunday. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Still the defending champion, Rich. No
He's
one's
got it.
Wife just leaves him alone more.
Rich, I'm going to take all the children away from you, and you'll be alone at your domicile. Enjoy yourself.
Winning off the field.
Time. That's Rich, man.
And still the defending champion. I don't know that they've ever spent one weekend together. Because he calls us every Friday.
It's like I'm grilling steaks with bourbon, and I have no kids around. It's amazing.
Jeff in Richmond, how are you?
Jefferson.
Hey, guys, doing good. I am winning off the field because my fiance just left for the weekend, so I get to sit on my butt all day and watch the draft, so therefore I am.
Winning off the field.
How did you coordinate that to be this weekend that she wouldn't be around? That's perfect.
She's going to a bridal shower, so it just happened to work out.
That is the best feeling in the world.
Perfect.
I remember one time my wife heard me saying, like, oh, it's so amazing when your girlfriend or, you know, fiance, wife, wherever you're at in life, goes out of town. It's like the best feeling in the world. And it sounds mean, but
sounds awful, but
it's not. Not meant that way. Like, you're still loved. This is just great.
I don't know how to tell you that it's amazing right? when you're not here. There's no good way to do it. There's no good way because it sounds terrible.
But in a nice way.
Look at the smile on my face. Right. I'm so excited you're not going to be here, but I love you so much. It's hard for them to figure that out and understand.
They can't grasp it.
Yeah, it's hard to grasp.
Let's go to Joe in D.C. Hey, Joe.
What's up, Joe?
So, guys, it sounds like we have a theme here, and it's about wives. So my wife's been on me all week to go pick out countertops for our remodel, and I've been dreading it because I had to take pictures and details and yada, yada, yada. So I get there, and the woman's like, all you do is just QR code, boom, it saves the exact countertop and the details, so no taking pictures, no taking notes. That's why I am.
Winning off the field.
That's awesome.
That sounds great that it worked out that way, but I can imagine the buildup, the anxiety.
Oh, the horror of that.
The frustration.
Now, do you like the marble or do you like the one that looks like marble? Do you like the granite? Do you like the stone? Yes.
Here's the problem.
Yes.
You can't just say yes because you say whatever you want. Whatever you want is what I want. But now you're not engaging. See what I did there?
I know exactly what you're talking about. We've all been there. I don't care what the countertop is my answer.
I'll never. This is my new line. I'll never think about this countertop after this conversation again. And I won't. I'll be eating on that countertop. I'll sit on that countertop. I'll never think about it again. Jose and Burke, what's up?
Hey, man. So I'm out playing 18 holes today. No wives story, so sorry. But somewhere during the back nine, I realized I lost my phone. And I'm like, oh, boy. So I'm used to losing golf balls on the course all the time, but I lost my phone. So the guys I were with were nice. They were trying to call it to see if we could hear it, but it was impossible. By the time I get to the 18th hole, this lady says, hey, did one of you lose your phone? They found it. It's at the clubhouse. And as I'm walking to the clubhouse, the guy hands me my phone and says, here you go, buddy. So therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
I'm glad that you got that happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
The two times I've ever lost my phone was the most lost of all the phones.
It was vapor.
Because you hear these stories all the time. Like, I lost my phone. Some guy brought it back to me.
The Uber driver drove 3 hours out of his way to
Twice I've lost my phone. Those phones died doing what they loved. Helping me not get where I was going.
Yeah.
I got new phones.
Yeah.
I had to go to a store. I had to pay lots of money. I had to get new phones.
Mm.
Same thing with wallets. My wallets never turn back up. I don't know where they go. They're never to be seen again.
How many times have you lost your wallet?
14.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
Thank you, Coach.
Since I was 16, though.
With your stuff in it?
Oh, yeah.
You got to get, like, a new license.
New cards, new the whole works. 14's aggressive. I've misplaced it for days on end 14 times. I've probably replaced everything in my wallet since I was 16, seven or eight times.
Do you ever think about where those old driver's licenses are? Do you ever think about, like, if there was some kid at one point, like, okay, try it at the local 7-Eleven, right? And you're like, I'd like this six-pack. I don't know why you're verbalizing when you put the six-pack up, but you know what I mean?
Probably what you do.
Yeah.
Some people go to 7-Eleven and they put like...
I would like this six-pack of beer, please. You had to verbalize the
transaction. They put cigarettes in a magazine and, you know, a Gatorade on the counter. They're like, just the cigarettes, the magazine, and the Gatorade.
Please.
You're like, are you just saying all the things you want?
Why are you saying that
just
out loud?
Just hand them to me and
I'll
scan them.
There's a transaction. I assume you want them once they're here.
We know how this works. I work at a 7-Eleven. Donnie in Mitchellville.
Donnie, he's the...
Hey, how you doing, buddy? Real quick, man, it was a day like today. Hey, Grant, I will never let you forget. It was a day like today when Ryan Zimmerman broke his bat and Rendon and Soto took us on a run, and somehow we won the ship. But real quick, winning off the field, Ryan Zimmerman's batting today, and that'd be a great day for all of us. And for Tommy, I'm riding down 50, enjoying a good old peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Before I am.
Winning off the field.
Attaboy.
Throwing back. I love it, dude.
I love that. That's pretty strong. Is Zim in the lineup? I didn't even think he was in the lineup today. Because I was mad that he wasn't in the lineup.
I haven't seen the lineup. Have you seen the lineup?
I did. And I know that he was not in it, which was weird. Because they had yesterday off.
I would do a thing where I had him in the lineup.
And all he does is get hits and drive in runs. And God forbid, after having the day off yesterday, that he played today. But he was not in the lineup that I saw. Because Starlin Castro was batting cleanup.
Yeah, there is no Zimmerman. I just scanned the whole.
Look who's batting third, by the way.
Yadiel Hernandez.
How's that for
Let's
you?
Get weird. Let's just have a weird
Zim,
time.
You don't get to play. But the guy who was a rookie at 33 last year, or, you know, hit 33 home runs in the minors.
I would have Hernandez in my lineup right now, by the way.
I would, too.
Because they despise runs and hitting and homers. But he's hitting for me. Field.
He absolutely would be in my lineup.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's how we went off the field on Grant and Danny. The Beltway Blitz is loaded. We will get to it next. 4 o'clock hour. Three picks tonight for the Washington football team. 51, 74, 82. What's your number one priority? We're Grant and Danny.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.